In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Welcome back to another wonderful show of Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. So glad to be with you today. Today's awesome, not just because it's another day that the Lord has given us for life and the opportunity to continue to know, love, and serve Him, and also to make His will and His plan for salvation more present in the world through the work He has given all of us to do. It's awesome because today is the celebration of the 37th anniversary of the founding of the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word, or MFVA, which is the Latin of the pronunciation of their order. And so we want to wish congratulations to all the friars today on their anniversary, 37th anniversary of their founding, of course, by Mother Angelica. So hope they're celebrating today with some extra time in adoration and a big old slice of cake. That's what you got to do when you celebrate. So congratulations, all the friars. I love all those guys. I mean, they are doing incredible work, continuing the mission that Mother Angelica, their founder, started. And pray for vocations for them as well, you know. And I met a young man there last year who now, he was discerning, but now he's actually going to be joining the group. And I think he's going to be beginning novitiate very soon. So continue to pray for him, and that more young men may be interested in joining the MFVAs and continuing to do the work of working behind the scenes a lot of times and helping out the sacramental life for all the pilgrims that head to the network, both at the network in Irondale and up in Hantsville, of course, at the Shrine. So continue to pray for all of them and their continued witness to the beauty and truth of the faith. And one thing, you know, you can always trust what comes from EWTN. You know, and I say that because today is also the celebration of the Feast of St. Athanasius, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. And we, all of us, owe St. Athanasius a great deal of debt. And we remember him every Sunday. Why? He's the guy that gave us that word that's that when they redid the translation of the Mass, they said, you know, consubstantial. Like, where'd that come from? You know, well, it comes from St. Athanasius. So just if you're not familiar with him, a wonderful, great doctor of the church. So he was a, he lived in the early 300s, the early 4th century. And while he was a deacon, he was selected by his bishop to be a peritus. So a peritus is a theological expert that bishops bring to them to council. So this first council was the first ecumenical council of the church, the Council of Nicaea, which happened in 325 AD. And the council was called in part to deal with the heresy by a priest named Arius. Okay, so Arius was a priest who taught that, because they're trying to figure out Jesus. Okay, he's God, he's man, he's, and there's a bunch of different ideas floating around at the time. Different thoughts about who Jesus was, how much was he fully man, was he fully God, was he what who was Jesus, the person of Jesus. So one of the ideas floating by Arius, that he was called in Greek heteroousia. That means he was a different substance, nature, being than the Father, right? So that he was a different, so he, because how could God be a human being? I mean, how could the God of the universe bring him, what's called divine condescension, bring himself down to the level of being a human being? You know, why would he do that? Does, you know, he's like, it doesn't make any sense. So I don't think Arius was trying to teach something deliberately wrong. I think he was just trying to understand who Jesus was, trying to make sense of it. But that teaching was in contradiction to what the church taught. So in response to this, Athanasius developed the church's teaching about the incarnation, that the Word became flesh, stating that Jesus was homoousia. Right? He was of the same substance, nature, being with the Father. Not a different substance, nature, being, but the same, right? So we get the idea there's one God that shares one divine nature in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so when we say Jesus is he is a person, because his person comes from the fact he's the second person of the Trinity. But when he became flesh, incarnate in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, he also assumed a human nature, right? So he's completely fully God and completely fully human. He's human and divine nature. Now, the combination of that human and divine nature is something called don't worry about the term. It's called the hypostatic union. It's the union between the divine nature of God and the human nature of Jesus Christ in the same person. Now, that happens without any confusion, change, separation, or division. So Jesus is not confused, am I God today? Am I man today? He's both. So the word for homoousia in Latin is consubstantialis. And that's where we get consubstantial from, all right? So we say begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father in the Creed, and that comes to us from Saint Athanasius. Now, because he taught and stood up for the beauty and truth of the faith, he suffered tremendous persecution, and he was exiled at least five times. In fact, there was a saying that was developed, Athanasius contra mundi, Athanasius against the world, because even after this teaching was promulgated at the Council of Nicaea, it went on for years and years that there were many, many bishops fighting against the right teaching of the church on this issue. There was even an attempted compromise called homoiousia that said he was of a similar substance, essence, nature than the Father, in an attempt to kind of bridge the gap between Arius and Athanasius, between heteroousia and homoousia, homoiousia. But the church said no. he's not similar. He is God. He is fully God. And so this went on for years and years and years after Nicaea, right? But because there were bishops that stood strong, and Athanasius stood strong in his teaching, the right teaching, the orthodox, the right teaching of the church has come down to us today. He never stopped teaching and proclaiming the truth of the Catholic faith, even when he was persecuted. That is the lesson for all of us. There are many of us, let's be real, there are people, even in the church, even those who are supposed to be leaders and teachers, who are not teaching the right things. That's why I said before, we're so grateful for the 37th anniversary of the MFVAs, because you can always trust the teaching that comes from EWTN. From all the priests and all the folks at EWTN are giving us the orthodox or the right teaching, just like Athanasius did, even when it means persecution. I mean, look, I'm just going to be straight. I've been persecuted because I'm EWTN. You are an EWTN Catholic. Or I've had pastors say, I will not have you in my parish because you're an EWTN Catholic. So, first of all, I think to myself, why are they so angry? why are they so angry against the right teachings of the church? And then I thought about, well, why would they say, I don't want, because you're an EWTN Catholic. Well, what does that mean? You know, because we want to put everybody in a box. Well, you're this type of Catholic or that. You know, I'm a Catholic because I teach the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith that the martyrs died for. Felicity, Perpetua, Agatha, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia, all those wonderful saints of God died rather than deny Jesus. You know, and I think that same beautiful truth holds truth for EWTN. They teach the beauty of the truth in a time of confusion. You know, they're trying to think boys can be girls and girls can be boys. You don't know what marriage is. We're so confused about many things in our culture today. You can count on the MFVA friars and EWTN to bring you the beauty of the church's teaching, the truth of the faith in love. And so we're grateful to EWTN. We're grateful to Mother Angelica. We're grateful to the MFVA friars and also to Saint Athanasius, the great bishop and doctor that we celebrate today. Well, today on the Beacon of Truth, we're going to talk about finding God in the workplace. Finding God in the workplace. You may be persecuted at your job because you're not afraid to stand up for your Catholic faith. You know, and look, this is May, the month of the Blessed Mother. Next month is June, which is the month of what? The Sacred Heart of Jesus. That's right. But in our culture, it's quote unquote Pride Month, right? And so some of you may be forced to put things on your desk, or some of you, even during the pandemic, you know, face persecution over the vaccination, all that kind of stuff. We're going to talk about finding God in the workplace. The phone number for you to join us today is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Yeah, I like that little laid-back vibe, a little funky there, a little...
It's getting too close to the weekend, though. We need a little chill.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I love that walk-up, like...
Right?
You know, that's like a classic little bass walk-up, though.
And never underestimate the power of the bass line.
Like, that's right.
When you listen to your favorite song, don't just listen to the lyrics or listen to the guitar. Think about how cute the singer is. Like, there's a pocket, and the rhythm section deserves some props.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's a little, you got almost a little bit of a slap in there too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the bass. I love that. Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. Well, you're listening to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And we're on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. And today we're talking about finding God in the workplace. Maybe you have some challenges at your workplace now because you're kind of being persecuted, because you're wearing a crucifix at work, or you have a picture in your cubicle or in your office of Sacred Heart of Jesus or the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Maybe because, again, during the pandemic, you're persecuted because of your stance on vaccinations, or maybe because you refuse to put a rainbow flag on your desk, whatever it may be. Or maybe you just have a hard time even talking about your faith. Everybody can talk about atheism and all this anti-Catholic stuff, but when you bring up something, then you get persecuted. We're going to talk about that. How do you live out your faith with passion and conviction in the workplace? The phone number to call today is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. You can also email us at beacon@ew10.com, or you can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response, then text your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And this show is brought to you by some amazing people working behind the scenes: our call screener, Matt Gabinski, our social media expert, Charles Beery, and our producer, Ace McKay.
Well, and of course, as we've been celebrating the Franciscan missionaries today, we also are really celebrating a lot with our EWTN affiliates. If you're in Boston, or if you're in Buffalo or Syracuse listening to the Station of the Cross, remember that their spring appeal is getting set for Monday. So make sure you join and come together with us as we continue to support EWTN Catholic Radio.
Right. Well, you know, it is time now, you hear that music, to break open the Word of God in the Psalms. And today we're looking at Psalm 15. We're talking about St. Athanasius. And this Psalm 15, of course, is in Book 1, so it was written by David. And typically this psalm is used like on the Feast of St. Joseph, when you, in the breviary, when it says there's a book of common prayers, like for holy men. And this is typically one of the psalms that's used for that. So I think since we're doing Athanasius and the MFVA friars today, who are also holy men, I thought we'd take a look at Psalm 15. And remember that this segment of the show, called the Soulful Psalms, is now its own podcast. You can go to EWTN Podcast Central, and you can download this podcast, or on Apple or iTunes or Spotify or SoundCloud. Go to your favorite podcast network and download this Soulful Psalms podcast as its own way of just getting this segment just on the Psalms. And maybe you want to use it to reflect on God's Word. So Psalm 15. And again, we're using the Revised Grail Psalms. So this may be a little bit different than the version that you have, but it doesn't matter as long as it's all God's Word. And this was approved for use for the church in the liturgy prepared by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. All right. So Psalm 15, the prescript of the psalm, very, very simple. A psalm of David. You can't get more simple than that. A psalm of David. And it starts, Lord, who may abide in your tent and dwell on your holy mountain? Right? So it's very interesting. It starts with a question. David starts this with a question. Who knows? David maybe was in reflection. Maybe he's meditating on the scriptures himself, and he's looking, maybe reading through the book of Deuteronomy, you know, looking at the law, and he's wondering, who is someone that, you know, well, he would later be called the man after God's own heart, but who is someone that abides in God's presence, who lives with God, like abide in your tent, so someone that lives with you, right? So how do we live in God? How do we live in his love? How can we dwell with God, right? On this holy mountain, of course, Mount Sinai, you know, in Jerusalem, right? It's called the city of, well, there's Bethlehem and Jerusalem, both called the cities of David. So who's going to dwell in his tent? Who's going to dwell on the mountain of the Lord? So, and as he's thinking about this, he almost answers his own question, right? The rest of the psalm. Verse 2, whoever walks without fault. So walks without fault. So obviously, it doesn't mean be perfect, right? Because first of all, the word perfect isn't the word there in the Hebrew. But he who, I think, recognizes their faults and recognizes that when they make a mistake, they're ready to rectify that mistake and continue to walk with God. Who does what is just and speaks the truth from his heart, right? Who's not just regurgitating what he hears everybody else saying, who's not acting like everybody else, right? You've heard me say this over and over again. We cannot think or act like people in the culture today, even if it means being persecuted like Athanasius was. We cannot sit by and allow this culture to continue to steamroll over us, to run roughshod over us, because we're not afraid to stand up for the truth. So we align ourselves with the words of David. We walk without fault. We do what is just. We speak the truth from our heart, right? And again, heart, leb in Hebrew, that's the place where your desire for God lives inside of you, in your heart. That's where we speak from. Not because we think we're smart, but because we are humble before God and letting God's wisdom work in and through us. Continues in verse 4. He continues describing this person who abides with God. Whoever does not slander with his tongue, all right, who does no wrong to a neighbor. Right, so now David, I think, here is doing a little bit of a reflection on the commandments here. The Aseret Hadibrot, the 10 words of God. Who does not slander with his tongue. Oh boy, we live in a culture today, we're just slandering, gossiping, talking about people behind their back. You know, almost, it gives us some kind of pleasure or enjoyment talking about people. If you got something to say to somebody, say it to their face. You know, if you've got an issue with somebody, what is the scriptures tell us in Matthew's gospel? If you have something against your brother, the first thing you do is what? Work it out amongst yourselves. So if you have an issue with someone, don't talk about them behind their back or talk to someone else about them. Have the courage to stand and say, hey, I have this issue, or here's something I want to say to you, and just hash it out. You know, who does no wrong to a neighbor? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. I think this is something that Dave is reflecting on.
Yeah, and as we reflect on, you know, our place in the workplace, how do we play out our faith, or even, you know, if we're in a situation where we feel like that we've suppressed ourselves or we can't really be that open, the question I always go back to is, God, why do you have me here? It's not just about a paycheck. It's not just about, you know, geographics. You know, what am I here to do? And sometimes I believe it's in our silence or even just in our presence that, you know, we may be at peace when the office may be swirling, right? You know, there's been staff changes or consolidation and what's going to happen? And you're at peace because God hasn't opened a door for you and he has you where he has you. So when you're wondering, why am I here in this toxic environment and these toxic people? Well, I mean, we're to be the light to the world. And so I love how this psalm ties directly into how we could be even just in the workplace, but then out into the world and how that can become infectious.
Yes, exactly. And that's an excellent point, Ace, because you just can't be a follower of Jesus in church.
Right.
You just can't be a follower of Jesus at home. We always have to be followers of Jesus in every aspect of our life, in every situation we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
The challenge that that David's addressing today and that we're going to be talking about on this show is addressing the faith in the workplace. Well, David's not addressing necessarily the workplace, but he's talking about the kind of person we need to be if we are to bring the faith forward into this culture, into this society, into this, as St. Paul says, adulterous and sinful generation. How do we stand up and witness to the power of God even in the workplace, even when it means we may be persecuted, even when it means we may lose our job?
Yeah.
So what do we do? Do we just acquiesce? Do we just cave in? Do we just capitulate? And then, well, I'll just go to confession. Or you know, how do you discern that? How do you discern what to do? That's what we're talking about today. And David continues, again, describing this man who abides with the Lord, who dwells on his holy mountain. Who casts no slur on a friend, okay? Who looks with scorn on the wicked, but honors those who fear the Lord, right? Who scorns the wicked, who doesn't go along with the culture, this culture of woke, this culture of confusion, this culture of divisiveness, this culture of anger and animosity, no. Or this culture of compromise, this culture of this cancel culture, this sellout culture, no. We scorn that. We look upon that with disdain and say, no, there's a better way, and that way is Jesus. But and the way David puts it, who honors those who fear the Lord. Now, fear, yareh, in Hebrew means honor, reverence, and respect. So we don't give our respect to the people of the culture. No, we look down upon the people, not look down, but scorn the people of the culture. Not saying that we're better than you, but we have a better way of living. We have a better way of thinking, understanding what it means to be a human person, how we interact with the human family. That's what he's talking about. But we honor those who give honor, reverence, and respect to the Lord. And David even continues, who keeps an oath, whatever the cost. Ooh, this one might be a tough one, because especially if you're dealing with a marriage that's having issues, right? Who keeps your oath, who keeps your promise, your ordination promises, your baptismal promises, confirmation promises. Whatever the cost, we do not compromise our faith. Who lends no money at interest, so usury. Who accepts no bribes against the innocent. Such a one shall never be shaken. So this, to me, sounds like David's talking about someone who is counter-cultural, who is standing against what the culture is and living for God. And that's our clue for how we are supposed to live as well. Well, today we're talking about living our faith or finding God in the workplace. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Ooh, yes. Da, 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 da. Yeah, I'm definitely feeling that.
And then it brings it down right there?
Mm-mm. Yeah. You see that? That guitar is probably tuned down either a half or a whole step.
Yeah.
To get that deep, the chunk. And it's really got a wonderful Alice in Chains kind of vibe going on there. I like that. That, especially the head there in the beginning.
Yeah, and never underestimate an open slide hi-hat. That, you know.
Yeah. See, and that's one of the things with albums. You know, you could hear all the dynamics and ghost notes and things like that on the drums, like with cymbals and things like that.
Yeah.
And with digitally, you know, the way it captures the signal, sometimes you lose some of that. That's why I think vinyl is kind of regaining popularity again.
Oh,
because
yeah.
You hear all those subtleties that musicians listen for when they listen to a song.
And nothing more satisfying than dropping that needle.
Yeah, that's
just
right.
Just that little bit
that's
of static right before the first cut. It's so good.
Yeah, exactly. I remember listening to songs like Queen songs, trying to figure out the harmonies, singing one
and
part, then lifting up the needle and putting it back and listen to, and then pick the needle up and put it back and listen to the next part and until you like the tenor part, the alto part, the tenor alto part, and you know, all of that. Oh, it's good stuff, man. Good stuff. Well, you're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And today we're talking about finding God in the workplace. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. And this show is brought to you by some great folks, social media expert Charles Berry, Matt Kabinski screening calls, and our producer, Ace McKay.
Of course, I want to invite you to join me this weekend as we do kick off the month of Mary. We're going to be in the midst of Catholics Coast to Coast, where the month of Mary kicking off with our friends at A Reason for Hope, the podcast really looking into Mary's apparitions and what we can learn from the warnings, but also how do we bridge trauma and hope together. We've got our friends from a podcast called Springs in the Desert that's going to help to bring clarity to that this weekend. So don't miss out. You've got 2 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. That's on Saturday. Then Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, it is Catholics Coast to Coast with myself on EWTN Radio.
All right. Outstanding. Well, we're talking about finding God in the workplace. And, you know, we want to hear from you. Maybe you have been struggling to find God in the workplace. Maybe you're at a workplace that's hostile to a Christian environment that won't let you wear a crucifix, although the Muslims get to wear their kufis, the Muslim men, or the hijabs that the Muslim women get to wear, or people of the faith, but you're not allowed to wear your crucifix or put up a picture of the Holy Family, or not wear your miraculous medal, or you have to go to sensitivity training for LGBTQ, whatever letters they're using now, or transgender, or whatever it is. You know, you have to put the rainbow flag on your desk, and you're having some challenges. How do I find God in the workplace? And maybe I'd love to hear people sharing their experience of how you lived your faith in the midst of that kind of environment. What kinds of things that you did? Maybe, and maybe even you had to switch jobs. Would love to hear from you. The phone number to call us today is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Just like Lillian has done, calling from San Antonio, Texas. I'll be in San Antonio speaking at the Fullness of Truth Conference in August. Always look forward to that conference, and she's listening on Guadalupe Radio. Lillian, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, what would you like to share with us today, Lillian?
In my workplace, I've definitely experienced a lot of challenges. It's been a lot of challenges because I sit next to somebody who claims to be a witch. She practices witchery. So anytime, you know, she sees or hears me say anything, you know, about, you know, Catholicism, you know, she always has to have some type of comeback. One thing that I've learned, and I've told her, like, hey, you know, a burglar is never going to break into an empty home, right? So you questioning me is, you know, you're looking for something else, right? Like you're obviously not happy where you're at, what you're doing. She's kind of like made mockeries as far as like, well, why do you guys pray the rosary? You know, I mean, you guys make fun of, you guys judge us as witches when we do different chants, but yet you guys pray the rosary. And I told her, absolutely. You know, I mean, this we're praying to the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. You know, like she's beautiful. She's amazing. You know, you should try it sometime. So, you know, I just speak freely of, you know, my beliefs, my religion. And it's like I said, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, she questions, you know, stuff that she's, you know, she questions me, you know, like as far as like why I have my faith. But I've never asked her about her practices, right? And I've told her, too, you know, it's not my place to judge her. You know, that will come at a later time. But, you know, I've invited her to come to church with me. I'm actually the one that got her the job that she has today. We worked together a long time ago. And, you know, I reached out to her and I was like, hey, you know, if you're still looking for work, you know, it's this, you can come work with me. And so I've kept her close, and I feel it's just always something, it's like a calling, you know, like something that's obviously trying to keep her close to me. Like I feel, you know, she's lost, and I've just always tried to just bring her back to Christ.
Well, I love your approach, Lillian. You know, what's so wonderful about what you're doing is the beauty of the simplicity of how you're doing it. She's saying something to you. Hey, you say something to her. And you got to understand something here. She may be searching. You know, maybe in her heart, someplace in her heart, she knows that this witchery thing, this witchcraft, this Wiccan thing, I'm not sure about that. And so rather than seem to appear weak in asking questions about your faith, she's like, well, why do you guys do this? But really, she's really looking for an answer for herself. But she's disguising it as being aggressive. You see what I'm saying? So your approach is beautiful. You know, you stay calm. You just share your faith with her. You invite her to church with her. You tell her what the rosary means to you when you pray it. That's the beauty of the simplicity. People think that, oh, I have to give them St. Thomas Aquinas. I have to give them these devastating theological arguments. No. The way that you initially have that conversation is just like you're doing, Lillian. You have a conversation. Because remember what the goal is. How do I get this person in front of me to want to listen to more of what I have to say? And, you know, and you're doing this at work. You know, it's not affecting both of your jobs or what you're doing. It's just a conversation. You know, you're not trying to impose your beliefs on her or anything like that. And so I think what you're doing is a wonderful way to keep a conversation going, to keep the questions coming, and eventually the Holy Spirit that may create an opening into her heart. And she may accept your invitation to come to Mass. You know, so I really like your approach, Lillian. Thank you so much for sharing your experience of finding God in the workplace. That's what we're talking about today. How do you find God in the workplace, particularly in a hostile workplace, one that doesn't promote faith? In fact, maybe trying to force you to promote and endorse things that are against the Catholic faith. I want to hear from you today on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Just like Robin has done, calling from Boise, Idaho, one of my favorite places, on Salt and Light Radio. Robin, welcome to Beacon of Truth. Robin, you there? All right. Well, maybe Robin's not there anymore.
As I was telling your screener, I'm retired now, but I'm a doc, and I served in the Army, and I also served at the VA, taking care of my vets and stuff, and I am famous on the VA side, where I can wear civilian clothes, for my ties. And my ties are frequently cartoon ties and things, but if it's Christmas, I'm wearing a religious tie, or Easter, I'm wearing religious ties. And in my office, I have, you know, decorated military photos, sports photos, families, and a crucifix, and a little nativity, you know, at Christmas time. So in my office, you can see that I'm a religious man, I'm a Christian, I'm a Catholic, and when I'm treating my patients, whether it's in the military or my vet, you know, I just sit there and go, well, this is how God did it. So, for example, I see a lot of knee pain, knee arthritis, say, well, you have a thigh bone and a shin bone and a kneecap, and I'll explain how the thigh bone and the shin bone move, and, you know, and I'll say, well, You know, this is bone rubbing on bone. And so that's bad. So God invented the body's version of Teflon. He invented cartilage. And he slapped it on these bony surfaces. And now it glides past each other with less friction. Two ices coming together. And then when I'm talking about treatments, I'm like, well, God makes great drugs. He throws them out in nature. He threw aspirin and willow bark. Well, for your knee arthritis, he invented chickens. And we take the rooster combs and we grind it up and we find it's made of the same chemical as a normal lubricating juice of your joint. So when you have arthritis, you don't have enough. So we can use this to, you know, rehydrate, you know, make that cartilage feel better. So I'm constantly using God or describing how God did things without saying you have to believe. What I'm saying all the time is I believe. And many of my patients, you know, will get, hey, I really appreciate that you're not scared to say that, or can I pray with you? And, you know, no one ever said, I'm insulted by the fact that you said God. I'm not telling my patients, you have to believe. I'm just saying, I believe. And you can see I believe, and I'm not scared to show it. And I've never been challenged by anybody to stop proselytizing.
Yes.
So, you know, it's worked for me. God's been on my side my whole practice and, you know, made some patients feel better.
Yeah, what a wonderful witness. You know, I'd say a couple things. First of all, Robin, I love the fact when people walk in, now think about this for a second, especially when we live in this Northwest area, you know, Pacific Northwest, you live in the Inland Northwest there, but, you know, someone walks in and they see, oh, he's a believer. I mean, even if they don't believe, they just kind of feel like, a kind of a breath, like, I know this person's going to respect me. I just know, okay, this is a person of faith. You know, this person's not going to judge me or whatever. That's one thing. And the second thing is, you know, I love the way you tie nature into it, because that's what I find is very effective living the part of the country that we live in, that tying things into nature is very effective here. I do the same thing you do, Robin, when I talk about natural family planning. Couples preparing for marriage, and part of marriage preparation, when you make that kind of natural connection, I find it to be very effective. So, Robin, thank you so much for sharing your powerful witness as a physician of how you share your faith and help people to find God in the workplace. That's what we're talking about today, finding God in the workplace, the struggles, the challenges, maybe even the joys, like we've just heard. Of how you can share the faith effectively and some challenges you may have overcome or some things you're facing now. Would love to hear from you. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Just like Michael has done, calling from Westchester County, New York. Listening on TuneIn Radio. Michael, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello, thank you.
Yeah, what'd you like to share with us today, Michael?
I wanted to, I guess, echo the message that was just shared. I work in Manhattan, and we have religion existing in my workplace for an international bank, and they have groups that meet regularly that discuss faith. I go to meetings and I quote the Bible from time to time, and never have met any challenge or any derision from that experience. So while I do think that there is negativity, absolutely that exists, where I am right now, I haven't experienced it, so I think that's a good sign. Maybe everything isn't all bad and bleak, as we can sometimes be led to believe.
Well, that's a great point, Michael. You know, because I was just thinking, you triggered something to me, Michael, because I was just thinking about this the other day. You know, I was listening to Bishop Barron's podcast, and they were talking about a book. I was so intrigued that I actually went out and bought it. I'm going to be going on retreat this weekend, so I'm going to be breaking open this book. It's called The Surprising Rebirth of Belief in God: Why New Atheism Grew Old and Secular Thinkers Are Considering Christianity Again. You know, and so yeah. Your experience, Michael, because so many people will say, oh, I tried to wear a crucifix. They told me I had to take it off. Or, you know, I tried to talk about this. I can't talk about that at work. Or, you know, they're forcing me to do this. But you are bringing a whole nother wonderful perspective. There are people that are open and okay with actually what this country is about, sharing your faith and beliefs, even though it's different than someone else's.
Yeah, I don't proselytize at work necessarily, and I try to keep it light and positive and fun. But I guess I'm new to this this game in terms of being very interested in Catholicism and trying to be a better human being. So I'm trying to bring that to every day's experiences, including work. And I'm pleasantly surprised because I did expect the opposite, to be honest with you. And I just have not experienced that to date. I even have in-depth conversations with my boss, about certain spirituality, spiritual journeys. So I think what you say and what the book you're referring to is true. I do think that there is a yearning, a rebirth, and a desire for something other than the chaos that we see, at our feet every day.
Yes, I totally agree. Michael, thank you so much. And continue your witness, Michael. It is so important. And I want to continue to encourage you to do what you're doing, because it's exactly what we need in our workplaces today. Again, we're talking about finding God in the workplace, the challenges, the struggles, successes that you've had attempting to share your Catholic faith in the workplace. The phone number to call to be on Beacon of Truth is 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. Just like Laura has done, calling from West Orange, New Jersey, my home state of New Jersey. In fact, I lived in Orange, New Jersey after my parents divorced. My mom bought a house in Orange, so we moved from Hillside to Orange. And of course, West Orange is where Seton Hall University is, and that's South Orange. But West Orange is right near where I lived, and Laura's calling from on Sirius XM 130. Laura, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. How are you today, Beacon?
I'm doing well, Laura. It's great to hear from you. What would you like to share with us today?
So similar to your previous caller, I also work on Wall Street. And the company where I work, I've had a similar experience with Michael. They have been very open to me expressing my faith in the workplace. I've found countless ways to witness to people there and have built excellent relationships with people. My concern, though, as I've grown in my faith, is that I'm working in a usurious industry. You read the scripture from Matthew a few minutes back, and it specifically talks about usury or lending at interest. And I think as modern Catholics, we tend to forget the church fathers told us usury is a sin that cries out to heaven. So I'm having a hard time continuing to participate in my industry, even though I know I'm producing a good in the workplace with my witness, and I'm producing a good by being able to provide for my family. I sometimes struggle with, am I participating in evil given the types of things my industry is involved in?
Okay. All right. So I'd say a couple things. So, for example, in the banking industry, like right now, like so many other people, I have a mortgage on my house, and I'm paying that mortgage off now. Now, there's an interest rate attached with that mortgage, and so why? Because the banks have to make money so they can make loans to like small businesses or other people and things like that, and so. So they do charge some interest for that. And you know, we pay the interest fee. That's okay. I think what the Bible is talking about is the practice. Remember when Jesus overturned the tables in the temple? Why did he do that? Because they could not use Greek or Roman money in the temple. They had to use the Jewish money for worship in the temple. So the money changers had to exchange the Roman currency for the Jewish currency. And when they did that, they were charging rates exorbitantly higher. They weren't doing a fair exchange rate. And so it's those kinds of things where usury is doing something that's part of greed or avarice or, you know, taking advantage of people. I think that's what the issue is. So for banks and credit card companies that charge interest for using their services, I think that that's not the issue. The issue is when it's used to take advantage of people or to for greed and things like that. I think that's what the issue is. Does that make sense?
It does, but couldn't you argue that the banks are in a position to take advantage of the consumers by charging exorbitant interest rates?
See, that's the thing, exorbitant interest rate. Charging interest is not the issue. What do you think is exorbitant, and what drives those interest rates? Market forces, right? Economics and market forces. So right now, I'm paying like 2.something% interest rate because I financed my house like 18 years ago, whatever it was. But if I were to refinance now, which I'm not going to do, but if I was, the interest rates would be way higher, way higher. So you have to ask yourself, is that being driven by supply demand? Is it driven by economic forces? Or is that being driven by the banks just are greedy, just want to take advantage and make money off people? That's the question you have to ask yourself. And if it is the latter, they're taking advantage of people, then you have to say, wait a minute, I can't be part of this, or am I participating in this activity, knowing that this bank is taking advantage of people? You know, same thing happens with attorneys and other people too, where you charge people for using a service. There's always that temptation to take advantage of people and be greedy. You know, so I think that's something you have to discern. Is it they're charging interest rates because of market forces, or because they're going to slap on another 5% just because we can? You know, that's the question you need to ask yourself. Is that what your industry and the company you work for is doing? That makes sense?
Yeah. It does. Thank you.
Yeah, Laura, thank you so much for your call. Really, really appreciate it. Always great hearing from people from my home state of New Jersey. Well, we're talking about finding God in the workplace today. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Just like Maura has done, calling another call from New Jersey, this from Middletown this time. Listening again on Sirius XM 130. Maura, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
I think I'm going to send you some Taylor Ham or something.
Yes, please.
Thank you for taking my call.
Please.
Oh, my goodness. I saw.
And a decent slice of pizza. And a decent slice of pizza, please.
Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. He loves us. Yeah, thank you so much, Deacon, for taking my call. I was so blessed to hear you speak at St. Mary's a couple years back. And you're just so charismatic and dynamic. And I'm so grateful for this topic today. Usually, I got to say, it's the Holy Spirit that's getting me to pick up the phone and call you today. So I am a public school teacher here in Middletown, and I absolutely love my job, and I love my district, and I love my community, and I'm so grateful to do that. But as you know, in New Jersey, there's a lot of stuff going on that's in public schools. It's not totally jiving with the Catholic faith. And God has placed me here, and I believe this because I've discerned it. I'm going to pray for Laura because I know how she's struggling. I struggled too. I took it to confession, and my confessor told me, you know, you got to be light and salt, Maura. You can't, like, run and hide. And then, I don't know, I remember a couple years back they were talking about the Benedict option for this post-Christian society we're living in. And then somebody else, I can't remember who, came out with the Marian option, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so I've taken that to heart in my practice, in my walk with many of my colleagues and my peers who I love, who are a little bit lost, like a couple callers back saying with her friend who practices Wicca, that it's... we're here to pray and to be witnessed and to walk with our brothers and sisters in humanity who may not have that relationship yet with the Lord. And I could go on the road and talk about how I've seen the Lord work in my life, specifically in this position that I'm in, that I've discerned whether or not I was being called to continue to teach because I was so concerned about what was going on.
Yeah.
And whether or not I was participating, like Laura just said. And and I'm so blessed to work in Middletown because it's not something I need to worry about. That, you know, it's actually my faith that's made me a better teacher because I know how to love because of it. So,
oh, praise God. Thank you so much, Maura, for what a wonderful way to end the show. Thank you so much for that beautiful call. Love that. And we also had a Wendy on YouTube. I had a picture of St. Bernadette on my board, and everyone would ask me if that is my sister. Then I'll explain the reason why I have her picture up. I like that. Very good. Well, tomorrow we're going to be talking about the diaconate. Who are deacons? What are their role in the church? And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. And may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.